What's up, sunshine? Rise up. I'm Coy Wire. Welcome back to CNN 10. I hope you're having a wondrous, warm Wednesday. It is a hump day, though, and those can be rough. What do the trees say to the Wednesday? Please leave me alone. Today is also Your Word Wednesday, so make sure you stay tuned and see if your word gets picked. Now, we have some great stories for you today, so let's dive in. If you're wondering why I'm so excited, not air, the Levitt School from right here in Atlanta, Georgia, here with Mr. Poston, Mr. Wiersma, and Miss Turner. Yeah, Warner Brothers Discovery colleague here invited them in for a tour of our Techwood studios. So welcome, Lions. We hear you roar. Now, let's get you your news. We begin in France, which could become the latest country to ban social media for younger users. The country's National Assembly voted overwhelmingly on Monday to pass a bill banning social media for users under 15 years old amid growing concerns about online bullying and mental health risks. The bill will now head to a series of votes in the country's Senate and lower house. French President Emmanuel Macron previously asked the government to fast-track efforts to pass the bill in order to have it ready for the school year. He told a CNN affiliate, quote, "The brains of our children and adolescents are not for sale," unquote. Now, France is looking to follow in the footsteps of Australia, where a first-of-its-kind ban has led to 4.7 million accounts being deactivated or removed since just December. Other countries, including Britain, Denmark, Greece, and Spain, are also studying Australia's ban as they look to help reduce social media's impact on the mental health of younger users. Today marks the 40th anniversary of the Challenger disaster that changed spaceflight forever. On January 28, 1986, the space shuttle Challenger broke apart just 73 seconds after taking off from Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Households, workplaces, classrooms across the country were watching live as the historic launch suddenly became an unimaginable tragedy. All seven crew members were killed, including Krista McAuliffe, a civilian who was set to become the first teacher in space. The director of the project behind the booster rockets had refused to sign off on the launch the night before due to concerns over how cold weather may impact the tanks. Those cold conditions, combined with a design flaw in seals on the external tank, were later determined to be the cause of the catastrophic failure. The disaster grounded NASA's space shuttle program for nearly 3 years, and it's just one of a series of tragic milestones for NASA that happened in that late January. Yesterday marked the 59th anniversary of the Apollo 1 tragedy, when the three-man crew set to embark on NASA's first moon mission were killed by a cockpit fire shortly before takeoff. This weekend will mark the 23rd anniversary of the space shuttle Columbia disaster. The entire crew was killed when the craft disintegrated on re-entry due to damage sustained during takeoff. All three tragedies are commemorated by NASA's annual Day of Remembrance, celebrated on the fourth Thursday in January. Decades later, the lessons learned from these disasters continue to shape how NASA, as well as private companies like SpaceX, approach space travel. Pop quiz, hot shot. How many miles can monarch butterflies travel during their migration to Mexico? 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, or 5,000? If you said 3,000, you so fly. Monarch butterflies can travel up to 3,000 miles during their migration across North America, sometimes traveling 100 miles a day. Monarch butterflies are famous for making the longest journey of the insect world, spanning North America. Now, scientists are using new technology to track that migration in real time so they don't have to wing it when it comes to accuracy. In Florida, researchers are catching monarch butterflies, fitting them with tiny tracking tags small enough to sit on their backs. The goal is to better understand monarchs from takeoff to touchdown and what happens in between.
Expertise was butterflies, and Isla's expertise was tech and drones and AI and things like that. And we sort of thought, well, what can we do together?
The tags are powered by tiny solar panels and send out Bluetooth signals. Any nearby phone or receiver can pick up the signal, allowing scientists to map the butterfly's movements as they fly.
I mean, monarchs are amazing in terms of they're really well studied, but there's still a lot of open questions about what they're doing when they're migrating. And you've got resident and migratory populations.
Tagging monarchs in places like Florida also helps scientists compare migratory butterflies, which travel from the northern U.S. and Canada to Mexico, with resident populations generally within the Caribbean and South and Central America that don't travel at all. Researchers say this technology could soon be used for other pragmatic research, including studying dragonflies and locusts and opening the door to new discoveries about how animals move through the world.
It really is kind of a game changer in terms of what we're able to do and how we're able to see the world around us and what animals are doing.
Now, from Florida to Mexico, these monarchs are not flying under the radar, thanks to the science that's helping researchers follow every flap of the way. All right, here with our lions from Lovett. I couldn't hear earlier. Are you pumped to be here today? Yeah! All right, we have Emmett, Stephanie, Kai, Emmy, and Arav. And sitting beside me is the producer of CNN 10, Chelsea Cook. Round of applause for Chelsea, everyone. All right, we have some questions from the lions. Bring it.
How did your experience as an athlete and a journalist shape your path to becoming the host of CNN 10? And what skills from those experiences do you use most in your job today?
I tell people all the time that being in TV is just like playing in the NFL, because you have this team of people around you from all different walks of life, and you have to learn to be a good teammate, because we're all in this to win the game, right? You may not love everyone that's on your team or work with every day, but you've got to find a bond and something that makes you a good teammate for them and they for you. Kai and Emmy, I know your questions are similar, so why don't you go ahead and both ask them.
How did you find new content for a new day every day that you know will intrigue a big crowd?
Do you find it challenging to make the content on your show understandable for kids and teens? And if so, what are some challenges regarding this?
It's really not all that dissimilar, because as a journalist, as a TV writer, you have to become an instant expert in the topic that you're given. So you start from scratch. You start thinking, okay, our show is from 13 to 18 is the age demo. What might they not know coming to this subject? What do we need to start with?
We want stuff that's going to educate the brain, the body, the mind, the spirit. If it's helping people grow, then we're all for it. That's a big part of the stories we select.
What kind of impact do you want to have on the world around you as you give your 10 minutes of news every day?
I didn't know that was going to hit me like that. When I look into your eyes and hear you ask that, I'm reminded of why I do this every day. And why my team does this every day. I feel so fortunate to have had so many mentors and teachers in my life. Literal teachers, coaches, my parents, very fortunate. And I heard a quote a long time ago that says, what we have is not for us to possess, is for us to pass on. If we think we've accomplished anything in and of ourselves, we're foolish. We're nothing more than conduits of knowledge and information. And so I want to be a spark of joy. I want to be a conduit of knowledge and information in an unbiased, unopinionated, non-slanted way to help broaden perspective, understanding, knowledge, and information. Tissues, please. Get ready to turn up the volume, because today's story getting a 10 out of 10 is music to our ears. CNN's Victor Blackwell brings us a Grammy-nominated father-daughter duo that are spreading positivity one tune at a time. What this
place would be. My name is Harold Simmons, a.k.a. Fuch, and I'm a music artist and educator in Charles County, Maryland. One earth,
one sun. My name is Aura Valentina Simmons. I'm the age 8, and my artist name is Aura V, and I'm in White Plains, Maryland.
I wanted to make some songs for kids, some songs for the parents and adults, and we started with a song called I Am Love, I Am Light. We recorded it when she was 4 years old.
I love myself. I love me, I love me, I love me, I
I thought, okay, we need to do some more daddy-daughter songs, you know, so that kind of started the momentum, and we just kept going, kept releasing singles until we had enough songs for a whole daddy-daughter album.
Like the sun, I am bright. I am God's creation.
Okay, so the day of nominations, I turned on the YouTube live feed, and I watched it, and they didn't announce the children's music category because I didn't realize they do that on the website, not on YouTube. And my agent and other people texted me, you got it.
I'm about to go pick her up from school and surprise her.
It was so, so, so exciting. It was super fun. I was not really expecting it.
All right, congrats are in order for our Your Word Wednesday winner, Mrs. Myers at Romig Middle School in Anchorage, Alaska, submitting pragmatic, an adjective which means practical, moved by facts rather than abstract ideas. Well done. Way to make us smarter today. And we have a shout out going to Mrs. Zaker at Hill Middle School in Naperville, Illinois. Thank you for your kind YouTube comments. You rock. Also, shout out to the Lovett Lions. We see you in this sweet new hat. I love it. Hey, make someone smile today. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.